Good morning. You got all stars in the house. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Escobar.
Good morning.
Commissioner Amparano.
Here.
Commissioner Hawk.
Here.
Commissioner Salgado.
Here.
Gonna ask, is it kosher to ask somebody from the audience to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure. Here.
Ms. Price?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I apologize, Supervisor Price, not Ms. Price. My apologies. No comments from the peanut gallery. Pledge of Allegiance. So item four, appointment of chair. Do we have any motions for the appointment of a new chair to our LAFCO commission?
Make a motion to appoint Mr. Escobar in part of rotation.
I will second that motion.
We do have a motion and a second on the floor. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? None heard. Thank you, I think. item number five, appointment of vice chair. Any motions for an appointment? Nominations, I apologize, for an appointment. I nominate, hearing none, I nominate Mr. Amparano as vice chair.
Second.
Hearing a first and a second, all those in approval of Mr. Amparano serving as vice chair, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Public comment. You have any public comment? You come on, you know you want to say something. Hearing no public comment. Item seven, consent. Commission will consider approval of all consent items.
So moved.
Do we have a second? Do I have a motion and a second? Do we have any consent items?
Minutes.
Oh, okay, Mr. Salgado. So, hearing a first and a second, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Moving on to commissioner announcements. Are we good to go on this or not yet?
Oh, that's under the next one. I was just getting.
Oh, okay. So, commissioner announcements. I'll start to my left, Mr. Amparano.
I just hope everybody had a good holiday. I'm glad you guys are all safe and. Hope for a good 2025.
Chairman Hawks?
I agree with that and no other comments.
Thank you.
Second the sentiments of the commission. That's it.
Appreciate it. I want to thank you for electing me chair. For some odd reason I expected to, though I was vice chair, so I appreciate the support and I hope to be on time at every meeting. item number nine, executive officer announcements.
Okay. First off, we have some appreciation awards. Mr. Moretto's coming, but he's going to be late. And we have Mr. Kelly here. And Chair, if you'd be so kind as to present.
It would be my pleasure. If Barry, you could join me in the front, please.
YouTube. Okay. YouTube. Everybody. The kitchen. Yes, please.
We need a bow tie. Well, pull one of the mics so it can be overheard.
So I'll read the plaque. In appreciation for dedicated service as a commissioner to LAFCO of Imperial County, Michael Kelly.
Let me go this side.
All right. Let's have more people join over here. David, you want to come on over?
So, Mike, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank
congratulations,
you.
Sir.
We miss you at the board, but we definitely have a much better supervisor, much better looking supervisor.
Yeah.
So, we don't miss you that much.
Maybe you do.
I don't know. I appreciate this very much. I spent, I don't know how many years on LAFCO, maybe 16 years. Was the chairman of statewide California LAFCO for a term on the executive board of directors for a long time, and it was a pleasure. And I think LAFCO is a very important agency in Imperial County and throughout the state. And I hope that you guys continue the hard work. And we have a new CEO, and I'm sure we'll guide you in the right direction, and an outstanding attorney. So good luck to the LAFCO Commission in the years to come.
Thank you. So, you know, I think LAFCO is one of those least understood and most underappreciated agencies in the state of California, maybe even in our own county, which is why it's so important for us to have a presence regionally and statewide. And I think in Mike Kelly, we had a great advocate for Imperial County. I could see firsthand every time I was at a Cal LAFCO conference, everybody knew Mike Kelly. And most people liked Mike.
Especially the word most.
And everybody knew where Imperial County was. So that's the kind of advocacy we need. And congratulations, Mike, on
thank
your
you
service.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Any other comments? We're good?
No? Thank you. I think we'll go on with the agenda and then pause for Mr. Moreira.
Thank you.
Thank you. Continuing with our executive officer announcements, I believe we're in item B.
Okay, yes, commission. I would just like to let the commission, I keep saying council board, the commission know that on December 23rd of last year, as under my authority, we did an extension of water and service to 111 Dahlia Lane in Imperial. As I said, I approved that in December. It's just the one parcel that butts up against the Imperial city limits. Actually, it's almost surrounded kind of now. So that's what that was done in December. And then in your packet is a project report of all the projects we got going on. We anticipate maybe in February, we're shooting for February, at least one annexation with El Centro, the SAP for approval. One of the first steps is on this agenda. And in future business, there's Mr. Moreno. Future business for LAFCO potentially in 2025. I've met with John Gay and we're investigating, looking into maybe jointly doing a study for the infrastructure services, especially water and sewer in the county, maybe consolidating some of the struggling special districts and bring it under all one umbrella at the county. We would, the study would show the feasibility of that, and we're looking for funding, and we're going to work on that together as we move forward.
That's the key ingredient, funding.
Yes, that's the big hurdle, as we all are aware. Yeah, so that's all I have.
Any questions for the boss?
Just real quick, when you say special districts, we're talking like the unincorporated cities?
Yes.
So is that also, Tyler, is that included in the Hopeville area, the country club there?
Yes. Okay. That would be one of the ones.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just like a higher level plan, and maybe have something in place and contingency in case something goes sideways real quick, and eventually plan for the future where it makes more sense economically to have the economy that scales with one.
So you're going to assess the whole valley and look at all those
systems. That's part of the plan.
Okay. Yeah.
Any additional questions for Tyler?
Sure.
Hearing none, we'll pause before moving on to item 10 to recognize our previous chair, Javier Moreno, if you could all join me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
We appreciate you for your dedicated service as a commissioner to LAFCO Imperial County. We give you this plaque. We thank you for being chair the past year. And I've personally known you for at least 6 to 7 years. Yes. So congratulations, and we're there for you.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Okay.
We're heavy on one side.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah, come on. Well, thank you. Thank you, Board. Thank you. I guess it's an honor to work with you, all you guys. Thank you for the recognition. It's been long 4 years, and I appreciate your support. It's been a challenge, as you know, with LAFCO. If it wasn't for LAFCO, we would do it. For me, it's been home because, you know,
thank you, Commission. Moving on to item number 10, discussion action 10A HV224 extension of services. Tyler?
This is for the Hope Bill, correct? Yes. Thank you. Is this better? Yeah. Thank you, Commissioner, actually Chair Escobar. For your consideration is an extension of service outside of the Hopeville city boundaries, but within their sphere of influence, six lots ranging from 20K square feet to about 1.26. The CKH does allow a city or a district to provide services outside the boundaries as long as the commission approves it first. The reason, and George Galvin's here with the Hope Group representing Hopeville, the reason for the extension of service, water service to the those six parcels is that the IID has a project that was, I guess, congressional funding, right, earmarked to underground the canal there, and that would have that would prevent them from using or be cost prohibitive for them to be able to continue to get water from the canal. So Hopeville had requested that an extension of service be provided to provide the water service to those six parcels.
Thank you,
questions,
Tyler.
Comments?
Any comments?
Questions. So all six or seven six. Signed off on it?
Yes. Okay. They all have they were all part of the application process. They've all have, there's also the agreement between the city and each of the parcel owners for services, for the water service.
So, question for you. I know we have six that are in question along Underwood and Olive, but there's other nine parcels that are not requesting. Do you foresee this coming back to us?
George, would you?
These are sporadic. And it's not any uniform way. I mean, why not do it all at once?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. So basically, those six lots there are the only ones that are developed at this point. And so there's some vacants there. There are some that are currently connected. The ones that are requesting to be connected are connected to the canal right now. As Mr. Salcido has said, the city is undertaking a separate project, and it's done a domino effect. So basically, they're widening 9th Street, and this is the last portion of 9th Street that is okay. Going to be widened, completed with sidewalks and everything. In order to do that, the IID, the canal that's there, had to be underground. And since the six homes are connected to that canal, it makes sense to connect them to city water. And so as part of this project, side projects, that needed to be done, and they are requesting, you know, it was a pretty long process to contact those homeowners and get them to connect to city water. It'd be preferable that you know all those other properties would be connected to the city too, but at this point they're not wanting to and they're not needing to.
Do you said that these were the only six developed properties, so these houses that are there are not inhabited?
Correct.
These are just vacant houses?
No,
the houses that are wanting to connect are occupied.
But the other nine?
Correct.
You said weren't developed?
There are some that are connected to the city already. These are the ones that are remaining.
Okay, thank you.
Any additional questions?
I had similar questions, but that clears it up. Just kind of economies of scale for the city and the residents, you know, whether there's value in doing it all at once versus, but if some are already on and yeah. Some prefer not to, then I guess it's a choice.
Chair Hawk?
I'm glad that the undergrounding finally took place and that it's going to proceed. The project will now proceed. So hopefully we get Ninth Street widened and keep moving.
Yep, that's starting in the next couple of months.
Prior to seeking any potential action, do we have any public comments? Seeing none, do I have a motion? I think that was a tie. Yeah. Who wants to go first? Supervisor Hawk, motions, and Commissioner Amparano seconds. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 10B, delegation of authority for extension of services. Tyler.
Okay, this is a good segue. On the consent, there was a parcel that I authorized for an extension of service based on commission policy of granting that authority, this commission, to the EO. However, in reviewing our policy manuals, specifically the one from 2013, the LAFCO policy manual, within the manual, there's a conflict on the executive summary portion, the first part of it. It says the EO has authority to consider up to four parcels. You move later on into the policy manual, in another section, it says up to 20. So before you today, up to 20 parcels that would the EO could consider and approve without coming to the commission for action. So what staff is asking is, one, to consider if you guys wish to continue to grant that authority to EO, and if so, at what level, up to how many parcels? Any questions? Or am I clear?
So it could be up to four or up to 20.
It could be zero if you want. The CKH Act has in there that the commission can grant authority
up to,
it doesn't specify a number, but can grant authority to the EO only within the sphere of influence. If it's outside the sphere of influence, it has to come to the commission.
I have a quick question. So I would like legal recommendation along with staff advice as far as what your recommendations are and why.
Well, I guess I'll defer to Tyler as far as the numbers concerned. Put it on my City of Hopeville city attorney hat. We get these things from time to time, particularly as canals get undergrounded. They're all, and from time to time, there's a resistance. George can speak to it. Not everybody wants to be on city water. Some people still like to be on ditch water. I think those kinds of things are routine, and whether the number is four or 10, I think it has no legal significance to you. That's really what your comfort level is. I mean, I can't really advocate for a number for you. It's really your comfort level. How many of these things do you want to see? And with respect to the extension of either water service or sewer service, these are pretty routine things. And maybe you don't want to clog up your agenda with them. But if you've got 15 or 20, maybe you want to see what that project is or what the consideration is. So I think probably the higher number is what you want to see rather than a lower number.
Tyler, you're in it.
Well, from my perspective, I don't have a dog in the fight. It makes sense for a certain smaller number of lots that don't have anything that's major, that's simple, as far as just water surface, I mean, water service or sewer next to within the sphere of influence. For the it's sometimes there's an issue getting a quorum, and there might be a time limit for like the IID as an example, getting underground, we might need to move a little bit faster before the next meeting or before we can get a quorum. Other than that, it's the commission's preference. I can bring them all to you. I can, you know, it would be I don't know if I think 20's my opinion, kind of big. It's too big of a number. I would say the 4 to 6 range would be, I can see.
I think we should, I think our responsibility level is high. And at the same time, we don't want to be an overburden as far as too much government's concerned. So if 20 seems high, and I think the previous number was 4. There's some question mark. I would leave it at, well, I was going to go a little higher than 8. I was going to go 10, just kind of a good mix between both, where we still authorize, I mean, we still have acknowledge our authority. At the same time, we're being a lot more flexible. And again, to me, less government is good in most instances. So I would make a motion that we adopt the policy of 10 lots or parcels in this case. That would be my motion.
Given that,
goes well, wait, before, but I apologize. Before I make a motion, public comments on this item, I apologize. Go ahead. I apologize.
Yeah, again, George Galvin with the Hope Group for the City of Poleville. And as the former director, planning director for the City of Imperial, I've seen these things throughout the years. And as more recently with this project that you just heard with the City of Poleville, 10 may be a good number, and I don't know if there's an exact number that would be good, but just as an example, the difficulty, I mean, this project has been on the tables for a while. We've been trying to get this before your board for at least 6 months. The difficulty was getting that 10th person to sign on the dotted line, not for that person. They want to do it, but because there's a lot of paperwork that's involved. They're not a resident of Poleville. They live in Calexico. So we had to go over there and get their signature notarized. And so it was just a lot of steps in terms of the process. And so, you know, 10 might be a good number because we'll see this kind of things from time to time. And it just makes it that much easier, at least from our side.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional public comments? Bring it back to the board or the commission. Any commissioner comments or motions?
I would agree that 10, I'm just looking at the last one we did for Hopewell. There's 9 parcels that are left that could possibly come back. I mean, I don't, what are we going to do? Have a special meeting just for 9 parcels? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good with 10.
Are you second?
I'll second it.
I'll confirm because I kind of sort of acknowledge it, then kind of withdrew because we didn't do public comments. So I will acknowledge a motion to approve 10 parcels as a limit. And, it's seconded by Commissioner Amparano. Any additional comments before taking it to a vote?
Just yeah, Tyler mentioned the policy manual being from 2013. Maybe we can make that a long-term goal to look at that in its entirety and bring it back at some point, considering there's obviously some, you know, discrepancies possibly in there. And
there's
definitely, you know, work with you on that for sure.
Thank you for that. I was going to bring that up, that the policy manuals that we have are cumbersome and we're working our way through them. My goal and staff's goal was to bring, as we find things that need to be addressed, bring them to you policy by policy instead of having a huge meeting where you all fall asleep and try to, but yeah, you're right. And that's part of it is my education too. I'm reading the policies to learn and that kind of thing. And, but definitely that's what we're doing.
I printed that out when I first started here at LAFCO and it's about this thick. So there's some areas to find some efficiencies within the document. Happy to help.
As it relates to this action item, of course, anytime, if this motion passes, anytime that the EO takes action, he will be notifying the commission about what has been done. So
Thank you for those solid comments. Appreciate it. And we will be taking note of those comments and moving forward in a positive manner. Having said that, any additional comments before taking this to a vote? Seeing none, there is a motion and a second to approve up to 10 parcels. Everybody in agreement, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Moving on to item 10C, EC2-22 service area
plan. Thank you, George.
Before you today is the El Central, City of El Central's service area plan update. With us today, we have Angel Hernandez from the city and Ms. Sabrina, I'm sorry, the last name I forget, from Rick Engineering here for any questions or after this short presentation, maybe they can come up and add. What I have prepared is just that, I mean, you saw the documents. You're talking about 600, 700 pages with the audits and the budget and the SAP itself. So what I hope to do is just provide a quick higher level overview of what of the SAP. But before I get into it, I will say in general, LAFCO staff has signed off on it and believe it's a very good report and plan, and that both the financial information is more than adequate, and so no problems with from LAFCO's staff perspective. We went back and forth and reviewed I think twice the SAP to any questions that we might have or maybe some clarifications or corrections on it. And this is the final draft. It is not a draft in the sense for the city. They have a sense that they have adopted it already. And it's before you to consider to either adopt, deny, or make some change recommendations if there are any. So let's see if this works. Yeah. What was that?
It worked.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So a service area plan throughout most of the other 57 LAFCOs, it's known as a municipal service review. It's a comprehensive study about the capacity of infrastructure and services that the city or the district would provide. And it assesses the efficiency and the opportunities for coordination with other agencies. It's used by LAFCOs and local agencies and the community at large for to help with informed planning on growth. An update to the sphere of influence is required, which requires a service area plan to be updated when there's any change to the sphere of influence, like an annexation. Next slide, please. There are, when we do, the LAFCO conducts a review for updating the SPIR. There's the code lists seven factors. Those are listed before you. We'll go through all of them individually on the slide deck, so I won't bother reading them all to you now. Next slide, please. All right, so let me get caught up on my own notes here. Okay, so one of the first factors is growth and population projections. The 2020 census had El Centro at 44,000 and projected in 2045 to be up to 58,000 folks. The SAP planning horizon is through 2035, I believe, and estimated to reach about 52,000 residents by 2035. In the SAP, there's an urban development plan for stable growth divided into three tiers. Those tiers are the current urban service area, which it includes land within or right up to the city limits. And tier two would be planned urban service areas. Same as tier one, but it has more limited public infrastructure. may have water or not sewer, vice versa, but it's not as fully developed. And then of course, tier three, the last one is future urban service area. That's encompassing incorporated lands that are not planned for development within the next 10 years. Next slide, please. Second item to consider is the location and characteristics of disadvantaged unincorporated communities or DUCs. What that is, as the slide
Mr.
shows.
Chairman, I have a question.
Yeah, sorry.
Tyler, I just noticed, I didn't read the whole thing, but I did notice a little bit about drainage and some of the issues. Is that an issue for this report, the service area plan? It's not, is it?
It's not an issue in a sense that they're planning with for the retention basins and parkland and things, but when they consider the development, that's something they worked with the developer on how to manage drainage, 100-year storms, those kind of things. So it's not an issue, but it's something that they address through the SAP.
The reason I ask is that the last recent storm, Centro, or that hit the valley, there was an area by 6th and State that was just kind of inundated, and it the drainage was there and everything was there, but it was just overwhelmed. And I think I don't know if that's part of that service area plan or whatever. They
but feel free to jump in. Yeah.
Yeah, so you're definitely correct in that that's a topic that is covered in the service area plan. In addition to having sort of an adequacy analysis that's compared against performance standards that are usually something ran by statewide agencies, and they have certain expectations for how a city will, have drainage requirements. So there are mitigation measures in place as part of the service area plan. So they would essentially want to do a drainage master study, and then that'll identify all the like operational deficiencies. So that's included as one of the mitigation measures. So it's kind of to provide a roadmap for how they're going to correct those in the future, working in collaboration with the Public Works, County Department, and the city.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
You might as well stay up there. There might be more questions.
Sure.
Thank you. And yes, please interrupt if there's any questions. Back to DUCs. A DUC is defined as it's a community in the unincorporated area that has an annual medium household income of less than 80% of the statewide annual median household. Well, the latest census shows the California annual medium household income at $96,000. 80% of that is $77,000. So if you look at just El Centro, the zip code 92243, the AMHI is as a whole is 56,000. So in theory, you could say the whole thing's, but there are pockets around each city or El Centro in particular in this case that have things that actually wouldn't be a DUC, but they're most of the other areas around are considered DUCs. So why that's important is the law requires the SAP or the city, the agency, to recognize those areas in the sphere of influence, and to the city must evaluate to address the needs of DUCs when they're planning a change or an annexation, and to work with regional agencies to try to tackle those deficiencies in basic infrastructure. I know, as one example, it was a Cross and Via is one that's been identified as a disadvantage community. There are multiple parcels out there that the city is working with multiple agencies and LAFCO to provide basic infrastructure, water. Correct, Angel? Any questions on that? Okay. Next slide. Okay, present and planned capacity of the public facilities in general. Most of the services that are currently provided are at least adequate. Wastewater is adequate currently, but it's going to require some updates and expansion to meet some projected growth. Fire stations, there's currently three with a fourth planned. Transportation, it's generally adequate. There's projects to address growth-related needs, like as an example for that one would be the Imperial Avenue extension project. Planned upgrades, Sabrina kind of mentioned, there are going to be updates to the water master plan, sewer master plan, capital improvement programs, drainage. So they're, as they move along, they're planning to update those master plans. So financial ability to provide the services, as I mentioned earlier, I believe it's more than adequate after reviewing the audit and the 2022 audit, which is the El Central's latest, but I believe here shortly we're going to get the 2023 audit. So, yeah. And we have the current budget. Their reserves are, in my opinion, sufficient for both most of the enterprise funds and the general fund in particular. Revenue sources, general fund, Measure P, impact fees, grants. This SAP mentions potential future funding like enhanced infrastructure finance districts to help with the infrastructures. And the city has periodically fee reviews, ensuring fiscal and sustainability. Angel, do you want to comment on something? You're up.
No, I'm just here in case I need to speak up. And
yeah. So overall, general budget, general fund budget's $38 million, $157 million operating overall. Currently, the current budget, the reserves are fine. They do project 2028 or so to maybe being running a deficit at that time. But that's common amongst all our cities and county as we try to balance the budget moving forward with all the needs that and services we need to provide. Status of and opportunities for shared facilities is one of the factors to consider in the review. The city has mutual aid with fire and emergency services with the county and Yuma. They have multiple joint use agreements for park and recreational services, mostly with schools to share the facilities. And some of the opportunities for expansion in the SAP mentions is to, as we had talked earlier, enhance the regional water infrastructure to address the deficiencies in some of the ducts areas and potentially develop a hazard mitigation plan with the county to secure disaster funding. Another factor, accountability for community service needs. The city conducts periodic reviews for service adequacy and are updating the master plans. They review response times for fire and police services, staff adequacy, as an example, for libraries and parks. And recommendation includes ongoing monitoring and community engagement to continue to align the services with growth. And lastly, any other matters related to effective and efficient services? LAFCO didn't identify any other matters that need to address. I think maybe one commissioner will bring something up on a matter that to consider moving forward. The CEQA, LAFCO is covered under CEQA, has to abide by the guidelines. A service area plan or an MSR is exempt from CEQA for the state guidelines. It's considered a study, a feasibility data collection. It's not a project. So approval, if this SAP is approved, it does ensure compliance with the CEQA environmental regulations. Lastly, staff is recommending approval of the SAP. The commission has the option to either approve, amend it as they see fit, or deny. As I stated earlier, it's our opinion that it is a good report and meets the requirements and for orderly city development. And that's it for mine. Would you want to add anything to that or questions?
Not really. Just want to thank you to the chairperson, the members of the commission, and staff for hearing this item today.
Thank you for the presentation. Any comments from the commissioners? Before we consider any, go ahead.
I mentioned it briefly. I met with Tyler this week just to kind of, you know, as I'm looking at this service area plan, and I thank you, Angel, and the city for bringing it before us. You all know very well there are impediments to development within your areas and municipalities that you cover. And one of those big impediments is the power and your ability to provide access and power to facilities, right, when you have a new development. So I brought the question to Tyler about how that can be incorporated or kind of thought of in a creative manner, or just, you know, some consideration or how it may interact with this process or LAFCO to ensure that you all are in a better position and we're serving the constituents and the cities in a better manner to be able to provide access to the resources to support development and growth without having, you know, further impediments and always having to work a different angle. I mean, you see all these different services provided as a part of this plan, and there's a huge component missing that is a regular impediment to the work that you all are trying to do. And I'm sure, Angel, maybe you can speak to some of those challenges or how that's incorporated once the service area plan is approved. I mean, being newer to LAFCO, I think it's good to have an understanding how that interaction would occur, you know, following the approval of the service area plan and how we might be a complement to the process regionally as a body to kind of take action or, you know, improve the situation for our members.
Sure. Good. So the scope of the service area plan, Sabrina, just correct me if I'm wrong, is only the services that the city provides. So the ID, the providers of a power service. But that's a well point. What we do is when we have significant projects of certain size, we do request that the applicant do their due diligence and consult with IAD to see what type of infrastructure they might need. Even for like relatively small projects, there might be some roadblocks, challenges that need addressed. So this is how we address those issues on a day-to-day. Depending on the size of the project, we do request that. And sometimes we also consult with the IAD energy division on certain projects to kind of get their feedback, so we can kind of take those challenges before it becomes a bigger issue as the project develops. But just to summarize, the service area plan only looks at services that the city provides, and ID, the city is not in the power business.
I would also add to David's comments about water capacity and sewer. You know, when you're developing, obviously, you know, you got to have the right water lines. If there is a new development, power would probably be the primary one, considering a substation or something. But you have water and sewer also. Any comments there?
So the actual treatment facilities for the water and sewer are there's a surplus of capacity. How we deal with that in the day to day is, you know, sometimes with depending on the project and the location, there might be additional like a pump station that might be required. If you know, like we start construction this week on a southern pump station project in the city of Central on the southern side. So it's those types of infrastructure investments that would provide orderly growth and chance for development. Did that answer your question, sir?
Yeah.
Additional comments?
Yeah, I mean, I see where you're going with this, David.
Well,
I do, because I see what the problem we're having in the Coachella Valley with the power side and utilities coming in, where there is not enough resource or capacities to serve the needs of the city. So what's starting to happen now is they're now implementing a new utility tax within the water utility bill of the city to pay for the new substations. So looking at your development towards the north end, even off until 111, is there capacities to feed that? You know, I know it's not yours, but this is the future of what we have to look at, is how is that going to look? You know, is there a plan in place for that? You know, like Commissioner Hawk says, your water and power, water and sewer, I mean, your sewer plant's down on the south end. You're going to push sewer all the way to the 111 and 86 or 80, Evan Hughes. How are you going to push that? Those things like that, is it going to be up to the developer? Is it going to be, who's going to put this? And so I get you.
Also, you know, the regional hat too is we're looking at the transition, right? For clean EVs and all that good stuff. And you hear it on a constant basis. We don't have the load. We don't have the transmission. We don't have access. Where does all of this kind of tie into, you know, these types of plans? So that's kind of, that's also where this is coming from. It's a consideration for the need that is exists now and will exist moving forward. Mm-hmm. And so just wanted to throw that out there for discussion because you know it's not going away and there has to be some type of tool to address it moving forward. And maybe that if it's a policy thing at the state level, you know, that's what it has to be. But you know, having these conversations at the regional level with an entity like a LAFCO, I think is critical to ensure that everybody's on the same page. Angel's going to be on the hook to plan for EV chargers all throughout the city of El Centro, much like you all are. And where's the power coming from? How's the transmission getting here? Those are the big discussions that are being taken on at a regional basis. And I think, you know, understanding those and kind of having them now and making them the reality of the discussions is important.
Go ahead. Chair, I want to tack on again to David. the idea of, say, a substantial development. Okay, where a substation is needed, who pays for it? So you know what I'm saying? So if someone's, you know, that's a deal breaker for a developer, because if there's not enough adequate power, I mean, you may be able to get started, but not to complete a subdivision or whatever. So if we look at that, and I agree, I think that LAFCO needs to really look at how we administer like a new substation. Is it all ratepayers? Is it the new substation? Is it, what is it? And something that we need to look at.
Right. Yeah, I think infrastructure planning is definitely part of the service area plan. You know, comparing things against projected growth is how we analyze and the adequacy of all of our facilities and services for the city. And so essentially you'll just have your population projections mean a certain level of demand that's being added to a storage facility for water or for, you know, a wastewater treatment facility. And so basically you just look at when you'll start reaching those numbers where you're reaching maybe 80% capacity. That's typical for wastewater treatment plants. Once you start approaching those, that's when all of the triggers will kick in for, okay, now we need to implement phase one of this wastewater treatment plant expansion or, you know, anything like that. So the service area plan is providing a roadmap for when all those triggers are reached that you need to either do some sort of planned improvement or construct new facilities. But yes, it is certainly a constraint to development, and we seek for applicants to really be able to demonstrate that they'll be able to either fulfill their own demand through their own facilities or that they won't strain the existing facilities to a point where they would need to have some sort of planned improvements in place. But yeah, that's the whole idea, is that we can create a plan for financing all of that and when to do it.
Thank you. Additional comments?
Well, I was just going to say, because this is what I'm looking at. I'm looking at your growth map. I'm not going to sit here and beat this up anymore. You know what you have. You know what you're going to do. You know your plan. I don't. I just go off what you give me. And so it's technically our job just to look at it and see, making sure.
Absolutely.
But I'm not here to question how you're going to do it. But just to make sure your ducks in a row on this. Because at the end of the day, it's your city.
I mean, just to add that map you had, that's kind of our plan. So like the higher you are in that tier level, the more scrutiny you could be looked at, and then the more as you see, like further out you are from the city, it's
what are you 15 years on this?
Sorry,
it's a 15-year plan.
So that was updated as part of our general plan, and that projected up to 2040.
Okay.
Now, no one knows that. Okay, everyone knows that not every single parcel is going to be developed, but that's just our plan looking forward. And just to gist of it, the higher you are in your tier level, the more scrutiny you have to provide on. I mean, we do environmental, or you might need to provide special studies. Okay, how do you provide not only like city services, but like power services and other services?
15 years comes faster than we know it. Never did we think that we would be developing down close to Hebron and down almost to McCabe. Here we are. Thank you.
Quick question, Chair.
Go ahead, Dave.
Angel, in a perfect world, how often would you update your service area plans?
We're required to update every
five years. LAFCO traditionally hasn't pushed it because they're very expensive until there's some need of a change to the sphere of influence. But it's every 5 years, and sometimes it just if there's nothing, no change, it's just a LAFCO review and to see if everything's still adequate.
Good.
Thank you. A good report. Appreciate it.
And before we consider any action, any public comments? Seeing none, I do have a couple comments, and I do agree with the other commissioners, but I'm also going to be very complimentary because I come from Calexico. That's where I started as a city council member. We have a city council member here in the audience as well before I jumped ship and came over to the County of Imperial. And when I look at your numbers, I look at your general fund, I look at your infrastructure, I look at three fire stations and one a TBD in the very near future. And I look what we have in Calexico, and it's almost like you're the Dodgers and we're the Angels. And I don't like being the Angels because I'm a Dodger fan. So I think I want to be a AAA affiliate of the Dodgers more than the Angels. No offense to Artie Moreno and all the Angels fans out there, but I do want to be complimentary to the city of El Centro and what you've done, what you've accomplished. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little jealous. But again, this is a very good plan. Is it perfect? No, but nothing is. Again, I agree with all the comments made, but again, I congratulate you on what you've built so far as a city council, with city managers, with leadership, and obviously with staff. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Back to the dais. Do I have any motions?
Move approve.
Second.
Option one, approve post-service area plan service review as presented by EO.
And that's your second. Yeah. So I have a motion by Commissioner Salgado and a second by Commissioner Amparano. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. I think I said 5-0 previously. I apologize. 4-0. We are missing one member.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So moving on to discussion action 10. Is it 10E? No, 10D. Rules and regulations to implement the California Environmental Quality Act, better known as CEQA. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. This is another one of our policies, rules and regulations that need some refreshing, updating. The CEQA, our rules and regulations were last updated in 2018. The state has had some changes since then. I'll go through what some of the major changes are to our CEQA rules here in a minute, but now I lost my train of thought. Sorry. So the CEQA, the guidelines for 2024 is what we reviewed, and this action will bring us up to date with the most current state regs and rules as it relates to CEQA. Some of the major changes that we would be making to update the form would be actually the manual and the checklist. Mostly it's just minor and minor corrections and grammar fixes in a redline version is in your packet.
But there's been a change to one of the state offices that deals with CEQA, and that was formerly the Office of Planning and Research. So we update our manual to reflect a new title, which is the Governor's Office of Land Use and Climate Innovation, or GOLUCI. So that change has been made.
Nice name.
Yeah.
It's going to make everything better.
Yeah. Yeah. So also the checklist, there was some, when you do initial study, there's an environmental checklist for impacts, environmental impacts on a potential project impacts that a project could have. There was new environmental factors, four of them were added that weren't on the prior checklist, and that is energy, greenhouse gas emissions, tribal cultural resources, and wildfire. There's 20 to 21 environmental factors on that checklist that we have multiple questions that we go through. Is there a question?
21.
Okay. Also a change to the checklist on the, there are four thresholds of environmental impact. The second one, the language has just been changed, modified from potentially significant unless mitigation incorporated to less than significant with mitigation incorporated. The other three categories remain the same. Throughout the checklist, there's just been some addition of a question or two, or amending of the questions, or actually eliminating a question. But those are the major changes. We're asking the board to approve, the commission to approve these changes to bring our rules and regulations up to date.
Commissioner, comments?
Tyler, I didn't follow that completely.
I'm sorry.
Would you abbreviate that one more time, please?
In layman's terms.
In layman's terms.
Which part?
Well, the part that you want to amend.
What we're doing is our rules and regulations reflects 2018 version of CEQA.
I see.
What we're doing is bringing everything up to the 2024 state guidelines for CEQA. Does that summarize?
Okay, but you mentioned something specifically. What did you?
Okay, what I consider the two major changes are. There's four additional environmental factors that were added to the new checklist as opposed to when we did had them in 2018. And those factors are energy, greenhouse gas emissions, tribal cultural resources, and wildfire. Those are additional categories that were added to the checklist that weren't in the prior version. And the other change is there's four different thresholds that you have to consider when you review one of those factors. Is it potentially a significant impact on the environment, less than significant, et cetera. The second category, they changed the language from potentially significant unless mitigation is incorporated to less than significant. So that's the second category, the threshold changed language. So those are the major ones.
Another option.
Yeah.
So you want to change it to the
left. I want to match the 2024 CEQA.
It's changing the whole thing to the new standards.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So
I'd like to adopt the old standard.
Yeah.
But anyway, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
So California will find another way to.
I agree with Commissioner Hawk. Sometimes we strive, or at least I always put economic development at the forefront because of the lack of job creation or lack of opportunity in Imperial County. And sometimes I feel CEQA is a detriment to that. And instead of looking for a reason to get a deal done, we look for a reason to not get it done based on CEQA. So it's very frustrating from a business perspective, from an economic development perspective, from an elected official perspective, et cetera. But having said that, it's CEQA, it's California, and there's not much we can fight over it, unfortunately.
We have NEPA that we got to deal with, too.
I'd rather deal with NEPA than CEQA, to be honest with you.
This is just another overreach of California, in my eyes.
So anyway, sorry for my 2 seconds of...
Appreciate it.
Before we take motions, any public comments? Seeing none, bring it back to the dais. Motions? Any seconds?
I'll second.
You don't want a second, neither do I. on that note, we do have a motion by Commissioner Amparano and a second by Commissioner Salgado. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Motion passes 3-0 with one abstention. Moving on to 10E, holiday policy.
So here's another one of our policies that has conflicting information in our manuals. Personnel policy for holidays states that we are, the LAFCO's holidays are the same as the federal. In another section, it says that we follow the Imperial County holidays. Also in the policy that then lists the holidays that LAFCO takes, but doesn't match either all 100% to the county or the federal. So what we're trying to do is clean it up, be more clear, and we just specifically listed what holidays LAFCO takes. Basically, it's the same number of policies, I mean holidays, 12. What we eliminated from the policy, spring holiday and June 19th, actually these are staff recommendations, and June 19th, and added Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve to keep the number of holidays the same. But at least it's clear, it lists exactly what holidays LAFCO takes, and it cleans up the policy. So before you is approval of the holiday policy, or if you want to change it to certain other holidays, or, but mainly it's for to clean up the language because you have three different.
This was taken through staff.
Yeah, we, the three of us work together. The huge staff we have.
Yeah. So it really, you're going to take how many days? Is it 2 days or 3 days?
What the numbers, the amount, the numbers stay the same. We're just switching some,
moving it around. Okay. Yeah.
No additional days. Okay. And it also eliminates, I'm sorry, I skipped one item. It also eliminates a floating holiday from the policy. We don't use that. They used to provide a floating holiday, but we don't use that. We just pay travel to commissioners or staff.
Any comments before we take motions? Public comments? Seeing none on either, bring it back to the board, to the dais, I'm sorry. Commissioner Hawk?
Well, I just, I believe that Good Friday is a great holiday. Easter, I think that's a traditional holiday. I'd hate to see that removed, but I understand you have, do you have Juneteenth and December 24th?
But wait, there was 12 holidays listed in the manual. What we removed was Good Friday and June 19th and added Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve to keep the number of holidays the same, 12. Okay. That's our recommendation.
I have no issues with granting Good Friday if Commissioner Hawk wants to make a motion on that, but I also believe that we should be respectful and inclusive, and I firmly believe we should respect Juneteenth as a holiday as well. But again, you had the floor, so I'm not sure if you want to make your motion or your motion, because you're technically already made a motion.
You make a motion.
I made a motion to approve the way it is, but okay. Staff's recommendation. But I can withdraw my.
I'm just asking if we could, would there be a way we could include Good Friday?
You can just make a motion and we second it, where we can take it to a vote.
So he has a motion on the floor.
So this would put LAFCO's holiday schedule above the county and federal holiday schedule.
As in a number?
If we add these.
I'm not sure how many the county has.
Well, right now there's 12.
So for the county?
That would put us at 14.
Is the county at 12? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Okay. That it was in line.
No, because no, the county, for example, I'll give you an example in the county. For example, we traditionally give employees or support giving employees Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve.
Correct.
And depending on how the holiday works, sometimes the 26th or the 2nd. I mean, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. Yep. So we're flexible there.
I believe the county has more, but I'm not.
We do not grant Good Friday, but we do grant Juneteenth. I think, again, out of respect for the tradition of where Juneteenth came from, I think we should be respectful. And I'm also open to Good Friday as well. I don't think we're stretching the envelope by granting either one additional to what staff is recommending. But again, majority rules.
If I do you have a motion on the floor?
Yeah, I will. I can withdraw my motion.
Okay. I think in light of keeping it at 12 days, I would agree with Mr. Imperano's motion that we keep it at 12 and remove those 2 days.
So that is
that would be my motion.
Motion is to keep it at 12 based on staff recommendations. Do I have a second?
Second.
So I have a motion by Commissioner Hawk, a second by Commissioner Salgado. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those against, aye. Motion passes 3-1. I think we're down to closed session.
You know, I think with respect to litigation, I think it's pretty much all public right now. I can give you a briefing without going to closed session about where we think we're at.
Go ahead.
Reader's Digest version is Pioneers Memorial Hospital District sued LAFCO and the new healthcare district over implementation of AB, whatever the number is, formed a new hospital district. At a hearing several weeks ago, Judge Anderholt denied the challenge to the constitutionality and on other grounds, which upheld the implementation of the statute. Pioneers then appealed to the 4th District, at the same time asked for a stay of the dissolution of Pioneers, which this board had already ordered, but Judge Anderholt had put on hold. Last week, the Court of Appeal denied that request for a stay. So while the appeal technically could go on, there's nothing that prevents LAFCO now from dissolving Pioneers Memorial Hospital District. And staff is in the process of doing that. There's some moving parts in terms of collaboration with the county, collaboration with the State Board of Equalization, but that process can now go forward as of January 21st. My communications with IVHD attorney is they have instructed Pioneers attorneys to stop work on the case, to stop work on the appeal. They are no longer to do anything. So over the next several days, that'll happen. And then IVHD will dismiss the appeal. So with that, the case will be over.
Yeah, there's nothing from a LAFCO perspective that we need to do at this moment in time.
No, you've done all you need to do as a commission. Staff has to do some things as far as notifications and certification of the action you took, but that happens with every annexation, incorporation, dissolution.
Yeah. Now, realistically speaking, is LAFCO the governing board when IVHD brings information that may or may not go to a ballot for the voters of Imperial County? Are we the commission that oversees that?
Yes.
I think it'd be prudent, if it's okay with the rest of the commissioners, if we could get an update on where we stand as far as information flow from both Pioneers Memorial Healthcare District or the previous Pioneers Memorial Healthcare District, Imperial Health Center Regional Medical Center, and IVHD as far as information flow and disclosure pertaining to what comes next and specific or proposed dates on when that will happen.
Yeah, I think that'll be no problem for IVHD. And in fact, the enabling legislation requires them to do that. They're going to be treated now like every other special district. It's a hospital district now, but you know, they're going to have to regularly report to LAFCO. They're going to have to do MSRs. They're going to have to do all that kind of stuff. Next step is, and what they're doing now is they're continuing their negotiation with the city of El Centro over the acquisition of El Centro Regional Medical Center, and more importantly, taking over the operation of Pioneers.
So Pioneers continues to operate as normal until there is a
I think it continues to operate as normal regardless. The only
change the composition is going to be the board. You know, some point in time, there'll be some economies of scale going forward for that board to figure out what does Pioneers do best, what does El Centro Regional do best, so we're not having, you know, conflicting inefficiencies. But that's a discussion for another day that doesn't really concern us at this point in time. But in terms of litigation, I think it's effectively over.
So basically, we're waiting on the negotiation between the hospital and the
Well, IVHD and El Centro continue to do that. But in terms of your work here, it's done. Yeah.
IVHD is having a public meeting tonight, I believe, in Brawley at PMHD to engage with the community and staff there tonight, I think, at 6. So that should be interesting.
Are you going?
I don't know if I should.
Maybe.
I think I'll just watch it later.
Maybe is it at the hospital?
Overdue.
At the hospital?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Any additional questions, my commissioners?
No. Good news.
Okay. Thank you. I believe that was the last item of the agenda. Before I close, commissioners, we good to go?
Yes, sir.
Tyler?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
So
call the meeting, close the meeting at 9:44.